Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
This is LBC. I'm Nick Abbott. Let's talk now to Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Nick.
Now, he's not going quietly, is he? He's throwing himself a parade.
A nice big party.
To cheer himself up.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen, Fleetwood Mac, Rihanna, just some of the people that won't be there.
But who wouldn't want a 21-gun salute to send you on your way out of Washington, D.C.? We now know that he's going to be leaving the White House before Joe Biden's inauguration, obviously. It looks like he's going to be arriving, from the guidance that was sent out by the White House earlier today, at Mar-a-Lago in Florida by the late morning, which would suggest that he's going to be departing the White House for one last wistful look back at the building, I would imagine around 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning. As soon as he is out, they are going to engage in literally industrial level cleaning of the place. It was Senator Amy Klobuchar, when she was running for the Democratic presidential nomination, asked at a debate what was the first thing she was going to do if she won the keys to the Oval Office, and she said, "I'm going to Clorox it.
They're going to beat the stink out of the curtains."
No curtains, carpets, everything. And this goes apparently way beyond what is traditionally done, and is, according to the Biden team. I mean, not only is it funny, but it's also reflective of the fact that they are concerned that, you know, this White House has twice been the epicenter now of COVID-19 outbreaks. Right. And so they want to make sure that by the time Joe Biden has finished taking the oath and manages to make his way past the ring of steel that will now be enclosing him on Capitol Hill as he takes the oath of office, that by the time he gets to the White House, it's as hygienically secure as it possibly can be. So
he's
that's
taking,
the outlook.
Right. So Trump is taking Air Force One, isn't he?
Yes, of course. Oh, absolutely.
Before Biden is inaugurated. Because if he took it after Biden was inaugurated, he would have to ask Biden's permission to take the plane, right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. I mean, just to be clear, there isn't one Air Force One. Air Force One is the designation that is applied to the plane that is carrying the President of the United States at any one time. But yes, he will be taking one of those nice planes painted with the United States of America traditional logo. Not the logo, by the way, that Donald Trump commissioned for Air Force One, because, of course, he wanted a change in design, but I think that that is not going to occur now. So he'll have one last flight on board the luxury plane, head to Mar-a-Lago, and then, I mean, to get serious about it, then he wants to set himself up at his luxury golf club, essentially turning it into an alternative center of power here. He definitely has no intention of this being an aeroplane that is taking him off into the sunset, never to be heard from again. He's clearly going to have massive difficulties being heard from, because it won't be on Twitter and it won't be on Facebook, which suggests that it is probably going to be on one of the conservative propaganda television channels here, that he becomes a regular kind of phone-in guest to, if he wants to get his word out before the public.
That's his future. He's going to be a punter on somebody else's show. No.
Well, I mean, that may be short term. I mean, we know. I can tell you from 2016 that when we were covering events during the 2016 election and showing up, you know, pretty late in the day during that election campaign, the Trump people, as you know, never had any expectation that he was going to win. And in the latter stages of the campaign, you'd show up for rallies and events, and there would be areas of the sort of the press area that were marked out with signs that said Trump TV. And occasionally cameras would show up and start recording this thing for a television network that at the time did not exist, but which many of us believed he was planning to launch. Now, whether he resumes wandering down that avenue, I think we have to wait and see. He's got bigger fish immediately to fry, and that's in the form of his impeachment trial, for which he needs to find a lawyer. Because having made it known earlier this week that he wasn't minded to pay any of Rudy Giuliani's legal bills, Not surprisingly, the number of lawyers willing to represent him in this impeachment trial have been, thin on the ground, to the point where the aforementioned Mr. Giuliani could be seen in the White House grounds yesterday, probably wandering to the into the Oval Office and saying, well, I'll do it then, but you've got to pay your bill.
Now, what about this impeachment thing is a bit of a sideshow, isn't it? They're going to need 17 Republican senators to side with the Democrats, and that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it'll just fizzle out. But what's much more serious is the mountain of lawsuits that is coming his way, and the inconsiderable amount of debts that he has. It's like $400 million, isn't it? To become due to be paid.
Yeah, he's got $400 million that come due over the course of the next 4 years that we know about. Forbes magazine here has suggested that the number might be much higher than that. And there's also the burgeoning issue, not just of the criminal investigation of his own business empire, which we know has widened in the last few weeks with a much more forensic examination of some of the finances behind it. There's also an investigation underway here in Washington, D.C., into inauguration spending that took place back in January of 2017 with various family members that have been either already deposed or have been put on notice that they're going to be deposed by the Attorney General of Washington, D.C. But there's potentially an even bigger problem right on the horizon. And that is the congressional investigations that are getting underway and the criminal investigations into that Save America rally on Wednesday, 10 days ago, that sparked the insurrection and invasion of Capitol Hill. There are huge questions about who exactly paid for it. The Trump campaign says it wasn't them. Various former Trump campaign officials whose names were on the application for the permit to hold the rally have now been unmasked by the Associated Press, all started hastily deleting their social media accounts. There's all sorts of questions about where the money came from, how this thing was organized, and how much planning went into what appeared to be an off-the-cuff decision to tell everybody to march up to Capitol Hill, but may not have been that off-the-cuff, given that we now know that the D.C. police had indeed concluded that there was a really strong possibility of violence that afternoon at the congressional building that did not, for reasons as yet unknown, translate into more preparedness to protect the cradle of American democracy. And, fast forward 11 days now, this city is a fortress. I mean, I've been out and about today. The whole of the downtown area is completely shut down. Our office building, which is six blocks north of the White House, we've been told that on Wednesday, by the Secret Service, the entire street's being closed down. No one's allowed in or out of the building while the inauguration is taking place. We're nowhere near the inauguration on Capitol Hill. That's the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue. Even up where I am now, which is my home, which is, I was sort of roughly in the northwestern suburbs of Washington, D.C., the kind of Swiss cottage of Washington, D.C., all the shops are boarded up. Everything was closed down today. There's a real sense of anxiety in the air about what's coming because the FBI and the intelligence communities clearly believe that there is the threat of fresh violence by people that Donald Trump has successfully persuaded through his lies and his conspiracy theories. They believe that Joe Biden is not going to be a legitimate president.
Now, what about the concept of him pardoning himself for all past and future crimes?
Well, it's perfectly possible that he is going to issue preemptive pardons for himself, for members of his own family, maybe even for people like Rudy Giuliani, that crazy lawyer, Sidney Powell, and some of the others. he can certainly do it if he can persuade the legal counsel at the White House to draw up the paperwork. I think that's a big question. There is no guarantee that a preemptive pardon of himself would stand up. It's never been tested before because no president has ever tried to do it before. But, you know, you could roll the dice and see how that all goes legally. It would only protect him against federal charges.
Right.
So it wouldn't protect him against state charges. So,
of which there are a lot.
Of which there are loads in New York, potentially in Washington, D.C., and in other jurisdictions. So it wouldn't provide him with total immunity against risk of criminal prosecution.
Right.
But it certainly would be, you know, quite a nice gilded document to be sticking in your back pocket on the way out the door.
But the Republicans might be concerned about that, about setting a precedent, because that would mean that all future presidents could do anything they like and just pardon themselves as they're walking out of the door, and the next one happens to be a Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, there's so many precedents that are so dangerous as President Trump continues to wander down the roads that he's wandering. And Republicans are definitely aware of that. But the difficulty is that when we now say Republicans, that's kind of a meaningless collective description at this point, because you've got crazy Republicans, I mean, absolutely out there Republicans, like the gun-toting congresswoman from Colorado.
Is she the one that said that she's going to impeach Biden on his first day?
No, that's the other one. That's the one from Georgia, who I think I saw today had been banned from Twitter for a week, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's the QAnon believer. But we've also got the gun-toting, Glock-carrying first-term congresswoman from Colorado, who is refusing to go through the metal detectors that have been set up at the entrance to the House of Representatives, who are absolutely dyed-in-the-wool supporters of Donald Trump. I mean, cult-like followers of Donald Trump. And then you've got people like Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader at the moment, about to become the Senate Minority Leader, who have broken completely with Donald Trump and will do anything to purge him and his followers from the Republican Party.
This is actually going to play well for the Democrats. I mean, unless they do what they normally do and screw it up, you'd think that the Democrats are on a winner here, because the Republican Party is about to get split down the middle, isn't it?
Absolutely split asunder. I mean, massive questions about whether the Republican Party can survive as any kind of a monolithic entity. The Democrats have their splits as well. I mean, you can look at the progressive wing of the Democrats. Bernie Sanders is absolutely, for the moment, on board with Joe Biden, and they are broadly, they found a consensus that's allowing them to work together. But if you look at some of the younger progressives within the Democratic Party, people like Congresswoman Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez from New York, she's been vigorously critical of Joe Biden, and he hasn't even taken the oath of office yet. But
now,
the Republicans, they're facing a much deeper question about their future than the Democrats.
What about Joe Biden, just briefly? What's his first order of business?
Well, he's going to sign a flourish of these executive orders. I mean, we know that on the first day in office, within hours of taking the inauguration, he's going to sign an executive order to take America back into the Paris Climate Change Accords. He's going to sign an executive order to end Donald Trump's travel ban on countries where the populations are predominantly Muslim. He's going to sign an executive order that halts evictions and student loan payments for as long as the COVID-19 crisis continues. I would just caution that as much as Donald Trump has flourished his executive order pen on numerous occasions, the same rules will apply to Joe Biden. This is not an all appearances to the contrary notwithstanding, this is not an authoritarian system of government. It's still just about clinging on as a democracy. And so any president, Democrat or Republican, can sign these executive orders as much as they want. But at the end of the day, that's not the real business of governing here. The first order of business, writ large for Biden, is going to be trying to get this $2 trillion spending package through Congress so there's money available to battle COVID-19 and assist the economy. And that's going to be a huge test of whether he genuinely can find a way of working with conservative members of the Democratic Party in the Senate and Republicans. You know, he's pledged that he's the guy who can reach out across the aisle and work with Republicans. Can he really? We're going to find out very quickly.
We're also going to find out when he signs that first executive order and shows it to the camera how big his signature is.
If indeed he shows it to the camera, yes, absolutely.
All right.
And does he use a big black thick
Sharpie,
pen?
Quite.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thanks, Simon. That's Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent in Washington, D.C. LBC.